I'm Jen Rossman, and I'm the department head of mechanical engineering at Lafayette College. Like my colleagues who are here from Union and Smith and a couple of other places, I'm sure that we all had the same reaction when David said, well, there aren't that many liberal arts colleges that have engineering, because Lafayette's one of them, and there aren't that many. We have, in addition to many students who major in non-engineering subjects, about 75% of our students, 25% of our students pursue engineering. We have four discipline-specific engineering programs that offer a BS degree and are ABET accredited, and we have a fifth program, which is an AB in engineering studies that I'll talk about a little bit in a few moments. Being a liberal arts college means that our students don't have to declare their major right away. They have until their second year to declare their major, and even the engineers have a common first-year curriculum so that you don't have to lock in that choice until the end of your first year of college. And so we try to make sure that they are making that decision in an informed way in a variety of ways. And everyone at the college thinks liberal arts and engineering is a phrase that you hear a lot. My personal interpretation is that liberal arts includes engineering. I think a few other people here have said something like that today. That liberal education gives you a prism through which you can see the world, right? And there are many facets, many ways of knowing that give you different methods, different values, a different perspective. Engineering is one of those facets in a prismatic liberal education that we provide at Lafayette. Like one of my fellow panelists, I interpreted our charge to think about both sort of course-based and module-based approaches that we have done or might try, as well as the program-based. So I'm going to talk first about some of the smaller-scale things we've done. Many faculty at Lafayette integrate liberal arts content and context, methods, and values into engineering classes, or they interrogate engineering content from a liberal arts perspective, or both, at the course level. And so I'm just going to give you a few examples of the kinds of things that we're able to do. One is our first year, our first semester, introduction to engineering design. Here we're providing a cornerstone experience. Again, we're not forcing our engineers to decide yet what they want to do, so we're trying to teach them some things that will transcend whatever specific flavor of engineering they might choose or be useful to them should they not choose to be engineers. So this is an introduction to design thinking. It integrates ethics and societal context, as it must, because design is a socio-technical enterprise. And so that's how the course is constructed. We're teaching design thinking as starting with empathy, which, not incidentally, is really enhanced if you read texts with a humanist perspective and interrogate things the way a sociologist might. So all of the things that they're learning in the liberal education contribute to their improvement in this area of developing empathy and interchanging ideas with all the stakeholders. And this is all about another thing that's resonating in this group, teaching our students from the very beginning that they are problem definers and not just problem solvers. And we hope that the rest of the curriculum lives up to that because that's how we're starting. Another way that we do this on the course level is in our Strength of Materials course, which is a sophomore level introduction. As some of the faculty teach it as a continuum mechanics approach, where you're learning both solid and fluid mechanics, and you're learning lots of societal and historical case studies along the way. So you're seeing the demonstration of the course material, as well as understanding that as an engineer, I'm going to have to think about more than just the equations. And you're sort of questioning the theory in the way the exemplary module we were shown does as well. Our thermodynamics course that we teach in mechanical engineering has for the last 10 years required both a thermodynamics textbook and the nonfiction history, Warmth Disperses and Time Passes, which is a wonderful narrative of how thermodynamic theory kind of developed with all its false starts and its incorrect guesses and its sort of quixotic fantasies of the ether and kind of weird ideas. What is the caloric anyway? And as we've talked even this morning about showing students that sometimes really smart people get things wrong, this is a really wonderful way to say, here's the theory that we're learning. It's in the textbook. It's black and white. But here this other book, also black and white, shows you this sort of complicated path that was really interesting and that involved lots of cool characters. Those are just three course-specific examples. We have a program that a few other people have mentioned, the Grand Challenge Scholars Program. And we are the first liberal arts college to get approval to call our program a Grand Challenges program because we did something a little different. We broadened the Grand Challenges descriptions to not sound quite so technocentric as they sounded to our humanities and social science faculty. We tried to get on board to help mentor students and promote this program. So we redefined the Grand Challenges. We checked with the NAE bigwigs, and they said that would be okay. And we were able to recruit multidisciplinary groups of students to work on projects. And so individually, they complete the multidisciplinary curriculum requirements of the NAE to be Grand Challenges scholars. But they also must work in multidisciplinary teams to address the Grand Challenges from a variety of perspectives, which we would hope that a liberal arts program would have suggested that's how they think. And we now have a first-year seminar, much like the WPI program, that sort of provides a pipeline for students who might end up interested in that. The mechanical engineering curriculum has ethics infused throughout it. This is a tiny version of the faculty flipping concept that I think Gary Bertolini talked about before, where we sort of had to tell all the mechanical engineering faculty, you must have some ethics in all of your courses. We don't want one single little ethics course, and we don't want there to be a moment in your thermodynamics course where you say, and now ethics, and the students all close their notebooks. We don't want that. We want it really infused and integrated. And so what does that mean? So that was a multi-year faculty development project that is still ongoing, but we have very good buy-in now, and that's been pretty effective. We have a history of technology course that has been taught. As you can imagine, having heard my colleague D.C. Jackson, it's quite a great course that's looking at, again, interrogating engineering from a liberal arts perspective. And we have lots of courses, like Joe was mentioning, that are for non-engineering students to expose them to the way we think, our methods and values and perspectives, at various places where it will check off a curricular box for the student, and other places where they might just come to it because it sounds really cool. For example, a Billington-inspired course in the American Studies program in Technocultural History of America, and a few other interdisciplinary classes. We have external support from the Mellon Foundation for both STEAM innovations, like Dave talked about, and also some digital humanities work that's supposed to, you know, foster the kinds of things we want our faculty to do that fall outside the realm of the usual reward structure. We try to enable those things to happen. Okay. So the second category of stuff that I wanted to talk about is a programmatic one. And for 45 years, Lafayette has offered this Bachelor of Arts degree in engineering studies. And I want to say a few things about it. It definitely does some of the things that are in the paper we've all seen, which is that it teaches exemplary engineering content and fundamentals from liberal arts perspectives. It also bears out one of the hypotheses we've heard mentioned. It is far more diverse in student body and has been for a long time than our other engineering programs. The required coursework for the engineering studies program includes some fundamental engineering courses, the same ones taken by BS engineers, some translational courses in engineering economics and policy, and some coursework specifically in engineering studies, a core curriculum with seminar-style courses where students are sort of considering the history of technology, interrogating the profession, and developing frameworks to view technology through a policy framework, an economic framework, and so on. These courses are open to and popular with non-majors as well, which leads to interdisciplinary discussions and project teams, and the program builds to a really unique capstone experience. The capstone, again, seminar-based as well as a project experience, where problem definition is very key, working in concert with the stakeholders. The engineering studies program began in that surge of late 60s idealism about dissolving disciplinary boundaries, and it has had challenges including its identity, both as it's viewed from within engineering and from across campus. It has also traditionally was staffed only by faculty who had also appointments elsewhere. And so their primary loyalty was usually to some department on campus and not to that program. Until recently, we now have two dedicated faculty members in the program, one a traditionally trained engineer with also very strong interests and expertise in policy, and an STS scholar, in addition to the many part-time faculty appointments that we already had. So these two faculty have really been able to focus the program, make its identity clearer, and serve, in addition to the students in the program, who are numerous, also really foster a service to the campus as a whole. They've led many interdisciplinary forums, organized ways for the whole campus to engage in the sorts of discussions of what is the role of technology in 21st century, what is engineering, all the kinds of questions that keep bubbling up today. We get to have them in the context of fracking or whatever the issue of the day is that has been organized. So this program, certainly I could go on, but I'm not allowed to, about the many challenges that it has faced, but it has really thrived and it's been now had quite significant longevity. And I think it's because it has been willing to be fluid with its mission. I once had an hour-long discussion with the advisory board for this group about whether our students were being trained to be technical translators or technical integrators. And that was a really key difference, and it really did mean something. And it was a very productive discussion. But I will not go on any more about that program, but I'm happy to answer questions later.
Thank you.